June 25th, 2012.
Where the hell's my brother?
Orion paused his game that he was playing against his nephews and muted the mic to stare blankly at Asheron. You need to modulate that unwarranted ire, buddy. I'm not your hoe and you ain't my pimp. A tick started in Asheron's jaw.
Sorry.
But his tone contradicted that apology.
Do you happen to know where Styx is?
Of course he did. However, he was too pissed to answer, so Orion took a swig of his beer. Am I your brother's keeper?
You gave Tori his email. I assume that means you're keeping tabs on him.
Orion clicked back into play and had to bite his tongue to stop his causticity from saying something that would cause Ash to blast him through a wall. Your point?
I've been to his condo 3 times this month, and he's not there. As far as I can tell, he hasn't been there for quite some time.
Nice powers of observation, Atlantean god. It only took you, what, 3.5 years to realize your brother had moved out? For that alone, he wanted to punch Ash. Refraining from that particular level of stupid, Orion cleared his throat. Maybe we should put his face on a milk carton, see if anyone has information on his location. He frowned. Do they still have milk cartons? Now that I think about it, I haven't seen one in a while.
I'm serious, Orion.
I can hear that, he said, taking his anger out on his online opponent, as opposed to his boss. I mean, damn. How dare my 11,000-year-old brother not be right where I put him 3.5 years ago after he did me a huge favor and saved my life and that of my wife? Rank filthy bastard, inconsiderate dog. Maybe we should take him out back and beat the shit out of him for worrying you so.
What is your problem?
Time to kiss the wall. Orion sighed and clicked the mic on for a second. Hey, Tyre, Eric, can we pick this back up later, little buddies? Uncle Ash needs me for a little bit.
Is something wrong?
Wolf asked. No, I'll be back in a few. Don't let the little guys kill me off yet. Orion signed off and removed his headset. Picking up his beer, he faced Asheron. You know I'd die for you. I put my ass on the line for you all the time without fail or hesitation. Hell, sometimes I'm even grateful you saved my life. But you're not perfect, Ash. None of us are. And when it comes to your brother, you're a fucking prick. Rage mottled Asheron's cheeks as his eyes darkened.
You don't know my brother like I do.
Really? His voice dripped with sarcasm. When was the last time you sat down and had an actual conversation with Styx? Oh, wait. Orion feigned a laugh as he slapped his thigh. I know this one. He sobered, and those blue eyes pierced Ash with contempt. You were 7 years old at the time. So what's that? You're the same age as my dad, so that would make you older than shit and shit's great-grandfather. It would have been only about 11,553 years ago, give or take a few hours. Yeah, you're right. That makes you one hell of an expert on everything to do with Styx, since my last conversation was last week when I spent 2 nights with him. But hey, why did I even question it? Stupid me. Ash's cheeks mottled with even more color.
Don't you dare judge me on something you know nothing about.
Why not? You judge Styx all the time on things you know nothing about.
I'm warning you, Orion.
He scoffed at that empty threat. And I'm suicidal, boss. Fear factor really doesn't play in with a man who doesn't give a shit about life. But you know your brother, you say. Fine. Expert, then answer me one basic, easy question about him. Orion paused for effect. What was the name of his wife? You know, the one you didn't even know he had? He had a 5-year committed relationship with her before he died, while you lived in the same house with him and gained all your expertise where he was concerned, and you know him so well. She's the only woman he has ever loved. Not knowing her name is like claiming to know me and not knowing Phoebe's. For that matter, it's not like he didn't carve her name and that of his son into his arm 11,536 years ago. Swear to the gods, you cannot miss seeing her name. So, if you know him at all, you have to know her name. Ash's eyes turned vibrant red.
He tried to kill me,
he growled. Yeah, I know, because I do talk to him. About a decade ago in New Orleans, surrounded by dark hunters, you were wide awake and an Atlantean god with all his powers available to him when Styx attacked you out of desperation to escape the eternal hell he was damned to. Not quite the same as being a human boy in bed, sound asleep, when someone plunges a dagger through your heart and leaves you in a pool of your own blood to die alone. That was what you did to him, right?
He was trying to kill his own father. Did he tell you that? Plotting a conspiracy against him and blaming me for it.
Was he? 'Cause, you know, people never lie about shit like that, ever. Ash stiffened.
Yes, they do lie, Orion. So why are you believing Styx when I know what a liar he is?
Glaring at his rage, Orion set his beer aside. How do you know? You still haven't answered the easiest question on the planet about him. If you know nothing else about your brother, you should know his wife's name. Asheron glanced away. Orion shook his head. When he spoke, his tone was low and chiding. All those powers you hold, and you can't answer it. It was Bethany, just so you know. They were going to name their son Galen, after his mentor, who died in his arms when he was a kid. A mentor who gave his life to save Styx's when someone other than you tried to assassinate him while he was buying his wife's wedding ring. Now let me tell you about the man I know, Ash ground his teeth.
I don't want to hear it. And for your information, I'm not the only one who hated him. You have no idea how many people wanted him dead in his human lifetime.
His eyes glowed with fury.
Did Styx ever tell you that he had no friends because no one could stand the arrogant bastard?
Orion was aghast. Arrogant? My God, Ash, you aren't blind. Have you ever, ever once spoken to him?
I'm out of here.
Ash growled. Orion stepped forward to pin him with a merciless glare. You leave? And I'll have Tori hold you down to hear what I have to say. Things you need to know.
You wouldn't dare.
Try me. Because tonight when you lie down in your bed and your wife snuggles up to you and you smile with happiness, I want you to take a minute and imagine in the morning when you wake up in that same bed and reach for her warmth, it's gone. Forever. That you'll never know another minute of having her limbs tangled with yours. Never wake up and feel her body pressed against you. Then imagine going into Boz's room and finding it empty, too. All the plans you had for him, gone, forever. Then I want you to take a minute and imagine the kind of love and decency it took for Styx to go with me into Colossus and embrace the woman who murdered them. For you, Asheron. The brother who hates his guts. Orion paused to let those words sink in. Now, I admit, I'm not as big a man as you are, Ash. But I can tell you right now, I wouldn't piss on my father to save the world. Never mind hug him to keep my brother from sharing the pain I have every time I think of Phoebe, which is every other heartbeat. I'm a vindictive son of a bitch because after the fit you pitched, where you blasted him through the wall just moments before we went down to Colossus, I would have gutted your mother for what she took from me. And here's another thing you don't know. She whispered something to him before he hugged her, and it was fucking cold and brutal. Snorting, Orion shook his head. And then, after he went down there to save your wife, to keep you from spending the rest of eternity in hell, he took a blade for you from my father. I was there, Asheron. I saw it. No lies. Truth. Yeah, you healed him. And then you turned around and put the man who had just saved your life and your wife's completely out of your mind. You turned your fucking back on him. I was the one who took him home that night, and you never once asked about him again until today. Orion sarcastically bit his lip. Oh, and by the way, you forgot to pull the poison out of him when you healed his wound. For 2 months, he lay in a coma burning with fever and delirium, and I had to get Savitar to come in and help him. Because when I asked you, you told me he was doing it for attention. So, while I love you like a brother, I consider Styx my family too, and unlike you, Styx has no one else in this world. Poor bastard got stuck with me alone. Can you imagine that nightmare? Drawing a ragged breath, Orion curled his lip in disgust. He left that apartment a couple of days after Savitar brought him out of his coma. Over 3 years ago, he saved your life and Tori's. And it took you 3.5 years to realize he'd left. He applauded sarcastically. Good job, brother. Good job. Ash wanted to hold on to his hatred for Styx. He needed it. But right now... And you know what I've always found fascinating, Ash? You never once asked me how I met your brother. Ash looked away as shame filled him. I was in Cadeteros, just so you know. I went out for a walk on the beach and heard something in the temple down the hill from yours. I found him inside, alone in the dark, with scraps to eat. And when I asked him if there was anything I could bring him, do you know what your arrogant bastard brother asked me for? Ash shook his head. Fresh water. That's all Mr. Selfish wanted. He was having a hard time desalinating the river seawater to drink. Now, I know you don't like to eat, but the next time you're home, I want you to take Tori and walk around your island and have her point out the edible foods she finds there, because there aren't many.
I assumed one of you was taking food to him.
You've assumed a lot of things about him that aren't true, such as telling me that he was in the Elysian Fields for 11,000 years. He wasn't. Artemis put him on a vanishing isle, completely alone. No one to talk to, and again, with no supplies whatsoever, not even a hammer.
That's not what she told me.
Because Auntie Artemis never lies, ever, about anything. Such as having an 11,000-year relationship with you that resulted in the birth of a daughter my age she never told you about until a handful of years ago. Artemis is the fountain of absolute truth, especially where you're concerned. Her kind, benevolent care for all those centuries was why Styx didn't complain when you dropped him in Cadeteros. It was how he knew how to survive there with nothing. But the real question is, why did he leave?
I assumed he got bored.
There you go again with the assumptions. Orion dropped his gaze down to the tattoo on Ash's body, where his Karante daughter slept. Our precious little seamy demon attacked him unprovoked, and, well, she did kill him. But he didn't stay dead, obviously. Now, before you call him a liar for that, too, I want you to know he never told me that story, ever. I overheard it from Seamy, when she was bragging to her sister about ripping apart the bad copy of you who tried to hurt her Akri. In fact, Styx never says a word against you, ever.
He told you I stabbed him.
Yeah, one night when he was really tore up and drunk and I was asking him about some of the scars on his body. As many and as bad as most of them are, the huge, jagged one in the center of his chest, directly over his heart, tends to stand out. Ash frowned at his words.
What scars?
Dear gods, Ash. Have you never looked at your brother? They're all over him. Even his face.
No. He'd never seen scars on Styx.
But as Orion pointed out, he never really looked at him, only through him.
Where is he?
Orion narrowed his gaze. Why? So you can hurt him again? Forget it. He's gone someplace safe, so that you won't have to worry about him darkening your doorstep ever again.
Yeah, he's so altruistic with his billion-dollar bank account.
If you're talking about the money you set up for him when you dumped him off without a second thought, he transferred that back to your account before he left New York. That, too, has been closed for 3 years. Sick of this game, Ash ground his teeth.
You know, I can find him without you.
You heard him, Asheron, and I swear to the gods I loathe that I will beat you down for it. For once in your lives. Can you not think of him and just leave him alone? It's all he wants. You've already forgotten him for 3 years. What's another 300? Those words were harsh, but harsher still was the truth behind them. Ash swallowed.
I want to talk to my brother.
Orion sighed. Fine. He's in the Sahara, literally, living like a Bedouin. I had dinner with him and haven't heard anything since. That's all I know. Inclining his head, Ash left Orion and went to locate Styx. Careful to stay invisible, Ash watched Styx feed his horse and camel. Orion hadn't exaggerated the horrors of Styx's meager existence in the least. But for the vivid blue eyes that were ringed in coal, Styx would easily pass for a Bedouin. Dressed in all black, he had his keffiyeh pulled over his mouth and nose, concealing his hair and features completely. The only color on his body was the brown sheath for his scimitar and the red agal wrapped around his black keffiyeh, and the two brown leather arm sheaths for the throwing knives they contained. The horse nipped at the black leather pouch on Styx's hip. Styx laughed.
Oh, you caught me.
He scratched the horse's ears and patted her neck.
Yes, they're for you.
He opened the pouch and pulled out apple slices that he fed by hand to the horse.
Good, right?
His horse actually nodded and snorted. The camel made a sound of annoyance.
Don't worry, Wasima. I haven't forgotten you.
Styx went to share some with his other mount. Once the animals were fed and secured, and after he'd washed off his hands in the small oasis, Styx headed into a tiny black tent. Ash followed him in and was stunned at what he found. The prince had a modest bedroll on top of a worn-out Persian rug where a big brown dog lay sleeping beside metal bowls of half-eaten dog food and water. Next to the bedroll was an iPhone on the ground hooked to a small speaker that was playing Disturbed's Criminal, low enough to be heard in the tent, but not so loud as to drown out the sound of someone approaching outside. A backpack, saddlebags, 4 medium-sized solar lanterns, 1 rifle, and nothing else. Unaware of Ash's presence, Styx stripped down to his akarbe.
Damn.
Orion wasn't kidding. The scars on Styx's body were horrifying to look at. When, where, and how had Styx gotten those? And when Styx squatted in the corner to search his backpack, Ash's breath caught in his throat as he saw Apollo's sun symbol that spanned the entire width of Styx's shoulders. As a god, Ash knew exactly what a mark like that meant and all the horrors it entailed. Fierce ownership. It was a warning to any god who saw it that Apollo would fight hard to keep Styx as his slave. And Apollo didn't do that lightly. The Olympian god had never marked Rissa as his property. He hadn't cared enough about her to do it. For that matter, Artemis had never officially marked Asheron, and they'd been together thousands of years before Tori had freed him. And, as Ash stared at the mark, Rissa's last day, with her screams of how Styx had seduced Apollo, took on an ominous tone. While Ash might have been wrong about many things to do with his brother, the one thing he knew for a fact was that Styx was completely and staunchly heterosexual. But Apollo wasn't. And if Styx had fought his ownership, Apollo would have retaliated with a vengeance. Look at what the bastard had done to his own people. His own son, Asheron himself. Tori's words about the gods in human form rang with a frightening possibility. He'd always wondered how Styx could be so vicious to him. His own twin brother could essentially assault himself whenever he attacked Acheron. Apollo castrating him made a lot more sense than Styx doing so. The Olympian would have wanted a vengeance on Ash for having slept with Artemis and defiling her. The savagery of that attack over Artemis made a lot more sense than Styx attacking him for a woman he couldn't have cared less about. Putting an apple in his mouth and holding it there with his teeth, Styx stood up with two bottles of warm water and a sketchbook and pencils. He sat down on the bedroll without disturbing the dog, then opened the water to sip at it. While he ate the apple, he turned to a page in the book where there was a sketch of a woman who sat in a beautiful meadow holding an infant in her arms. The baby's hand was on her lips as she smiled down at him. Even though it was only a drawing, the love in her expression was haunting. Ash's gaze went to Styx's left hand, which held the apple, and then down to the names of his wife and son that Styx had meticulously carved into his own flesh. An ultimate tribute, not something a man would have done lightly. The full magnitude of what Styx had lost and how much his brother had loved his family slammed into him with such force that for a moment he thought he'd be sick. Styx set the apple aside and wiped his hand against his thigh, then leaned over so that he could draw. Ash winced as he watched the way Styx had to use his left hand to wedge the pencil into the grip of his damaged right hand so that he could use it. The way Styx did it said that he was so used to making accommodations for his partially paralyzed hand that he didn't even think about it anymore. Tears misted in Styx's blue eyes as he lovingly brushed his fiercely scarred right hand across the page.
"Miss you, Beth,"
he breathed before he began filling in more details. He pushed the book back a bit as he worked, and it was only then Ash realized why. He was protecting it. Every so often, a random tear would fall as Styx worked. Silent and focused, he would wipe it away on his shoulder and keep drawing. Awed by his brother's heart and talent, Ash sank to his knees to watch Styx's precise, expert strokes. He'd had no idea that his brother could do such. Once it was finished, Styx sniffed back his quiet tears and flipped through the book that was filled with pictures of the same woman and the baby boy at various ages that ranged from newborn to adulthood. It was as if Styx had created the memories of his wife and child that he'd wanted to have, memories that had been stolen from him by Acheron's mother. But what tore out Ash's heart was how much the boy looked like Boz. And when Styx paused on a drawing of Styx holding his wife and child, Acheron had to leave. Sobs tore through him as Orion's words came home to roost, and he thought about trying to live without Tori and Boz for even one day, never mind centuries. How could I have asked him to save my wife's life and embrace the killer of his own? Orion was right. He was a fucking prick, and he knew nothing about his brother. Pressing the heels of his hands to his eyes, Ash fought for control as he saw the drawing Styx had made of the boy holding a teddy bear. If he didn't know better, he'd swear his brother had met his son. Now that he thought about it, even their wives favored each other enough to be related. Was it possible that he'd allowed his hatred for Estes and Rissa's jealousy towards Styx to infect him so completely and color his own opinions? Surely he wouldn't have been so easily swayed. Would he? All his life, he'd preached to others that there were always three sides to every event, yours, theirs, and the truth that lay somewhere in the middle. Yet when it came to his brother,
emotions don't have brains.
Ash knew that better than anyone. He'd said it to every Dark Hunter he'd ever trained. And as he stood on the solitary dune, looking out at a hot, vast desert, he remembered how much Styx had hated being alone as a child, how many times he'd sneak into Asheron's room and be beaten for it. But Styx hadn't cared. He'd come to Asheron regardless. Brothers, forever and always. Styx had tried to make amends so many times. He'd reached out, and Asheron had slapped him away. Repeatedly. Worse, Ash had walked away from Styx for centuries and hadn't even given him a single passing thought, not once. It's amazing the damage we do to ourselves and others when all we're trying to do is protect ourselves from being hurt. How many times had he said that to a Dark Hunter? But then advice was always easier to give than to follow. Needing to set this right, Ash returned to the tent. He stood outside for several minutes, debating the sanity of this. But he wasn't a coward. With a deep breath for courage, Asheron opened the tent flap.
"Styx!"
The dog crouched low and growled at him. His brother was now sitting forward, holding a blood-soaked cloth to his pinched nose while he calmed the dog beside him.
"I didn't fucking do it."
Baffled, Ash frowned.
"To do what? Whatever it is you're here to accuse me of. I'm not a god. I cannot travel from here to wherever you live in the blink of an eye. It would take me a solid week to reach even a modest village."
The anger and hatred seared him. And Ash knew he deserved it.
"I came to thank you for the present you sent to Sebastos. An email would have sufficed. Would you have gotten it?
Eventually."
Ash shook his head as he saw the other two blood-soaked cloths on the ground.
"You still get headaches, too?"
"Yes.
And the biggest one of all just traipsed through my door."
Styx pulled the rag back to check the bleeding, which was still pouring. He folded the cloth and returned it to his nose.
"What do you want?"
"Forgiveness."
Yet he had no right to ask this man for it. Orion had been right. Styx had tried to kill him. But Styx had come at him openly. Hell, he'd even warned him he was gunning for him. He, on the other hand, had gone at Styx's back. And both had struck for the same reason. They just wanted an end to their suffering.
"Can I ask you something?"
"Yes,"
Styx snarled.
"You're an asshole, and I'm a bastard. What the fuck is wrong with the men of my family, that they always want to interrogate me when I'm in pain and bleeding?"
Ash dropped his gaze to the row of brand scars that ran the length of Styx's side. They started in his armpit, where no hair could grow because of the burn-damaged flesh, and vanished beneath his waistline. Even his nipple was severely disfigured. Those unique scars tweaked Ash's memory and brought out a long, suppressed act of stupidity on Ash's part. He cringed as he remembered when he'd seen the scars that covered his brother's groin and thighs in Atlantis.
"What did you do? Masturbate with a hot poker?"
Instead of punching him, as he should have, Styx had curled into a ball and said nothing. He just stared at the wall. Ash ground his teeth, wishing he could go back in time and slap himself for that cruelty. It was obvious someone had tortured the hell out of his brother. And he would have had them as a kid, before he went into battle. Only back then, Ash hadn't cared. Lost in his own misery, he hadn't spared 3 seconds to consider Styx's.
"Just because you have it bad, Asheron, it doesn't mean I have it good."
No wonder Styx had snarled that at him, repeatedly. But the scar that really racked him was the one right over his heart. The one Ash had given his own brother out of pain. Because he'd wanted it all to just stop hurting.
"Why are you still here?"
Styx asked.
"You wanted me out of your life. I'm out. I'm sorry I sent that damn horse that I didn't want to look at anymore. I won't ever bother any of you again. Just go. Why did you send it?
A tick worked and sticks his jaw.
Because I promised you that I wouldn't let anything happen to it. And contrary to what you think of me, I don't break the promises I make.
Ash closed his eyes as pain overwhelmed him.
Why didn't I talk to you when you were in Kadateras, like you'd asked me to?
Because he'd been angry. Hurt. Mostly angry.
I just wanted to say I'm sorry, Styx.
Styx gave him an astonished glare.
Oh.
Okay.
His tone dripped with sarcasm.
Glad you got it all off your chest.
Ta-ta.
You are an asshole. So what if it was justified?
Ash sighed.
Before I go, would you like to see a picture of Sebastos with your gift?
When those searing blue eyes met his, the raw anguish in them hit Ash like a groin kick.
You think you know pain? You don't. Trust me. I lived your fucking life, remember? I know every single detail of it. And since Artemis had me locked in that hell, and I saw why you hate me for no reason, and for things I had no part in, it has taken everything I have to not hate you for it, and for what your mother did to me, for everything she stole from me. But if you show me a picture of your perfect, healthy son, I will not be responsible for what I do to you. And before you go Rissa on me and tell me how selfish I really am, I do not begrudge you your happiness or your family. I don't have room in my thoughts for it, as I'm too busy grieving for mine. Now go.
Nodding, Ash backed out of the tent. He heard Styx's anguished bellow of unleashed rage. It was the same sound of injustice that rang out whenever a Dark Hunter died as a human. It was the sound that summoned Artemis down from Olympus to ask them if they would like to sell their soul to her for an act of vengeance against the person or persons who'd wronged them. Asheron had never once thought someone would make it because of his actions against them. And never would he have dreamed it would come from the throat of his own brother. He'd been so wrapped up in his own pain and anger that he'd never once considered Styx's. From the outside, Styx's life had looked so perfect, beloved prince, hero of Didymos, heir to a vast empire. But a house could look new on the outside and be riddled with termites that ate away at its foundations until it crumbled from the strain of trying to hold itself up under their brutal assault. And a single smile could hide profound pain.
I am sorry, Styx.
And this time, he really meant it. Needing his own sense of peace, Asheron headed for Savitar's island home. Since it was dusk there, he found his old mentor and friend in a black wetsuit, sitting in the surf beside his surfboard, watching the sunset over the ocean. Leaning back on his arms, he had his legs stretched out and crossed at the ankles. Savitar groaned the minute he saw him.
Drom coming to disturb my mellow. What up, my brother?
Ash transformed his clothes into a wetsuit so that he could join Savitar in the surf. He sat down. Bending his knees and wrapping his arms around his legs, he sighed heavily.
Orion said that you had to pull Styx out of a coma?
Savitar nodded.
What do you know about his past?
The ancient Thonian shrugged nonchalantly.
You are his brother, you should know. Don't play with me, Sav. Not in the mood.
He glanced over at Ash.
I truly don't know more than a handful of details. Such as?
With a heavy sigh, he stretched out on the board and raked a hand through his hair.
You know I was the Thonian for Atlantis, so I only know what happened there.
Not anything else. Sav was lying his ass off, but Ash wouldn't call him on it right now.
And?
I know what you do. That Styx led his army to Atlantean shores and kicked the utter shit out of them. So much so that their gods were forced to make a pact with Apollo in order to stop Styx and his army while the Atlanteans still had a country to call their own. Ash frowned at that.
It wasn't the gods who made the pact, though. It was the Greek kings. They offered to give Apollo my sister.
He turned his head on the board to give him an are-you-stupid stare.
Not exactly.
Ash hated whenever Savitar used those words. It was never a good thing.
What do you mean?
It was never your sister Apollo wanted.
Not really.
While she was attractive, Styx had the same unearthly beauty and sexual allure, courtesy of Epithemia. She'd been the Atlantean goddess of desire who'd touched Acheron at birth and cursed him to be pursued by anyone who looked at him.
That you did. And Apollo was enamored with Styx from the moment he first saw him. Like you and Artemis. The Atlantean gods had to get Styx off their shores before he overthrew them. And Apollo wanted Styx back in Greece as much as the Atlantean gods did. But they all knew the Didymos king would never agree to publicly give his heir up to be Apollo's mistress. So Apollo used Rissa as a ruse to get to and control Styx.
Sadly, that explained so much about their childhood and past, and it made Ash's stomach burn with guilt and pain.
Since you were the Atlantean Thonian, do you know about the other time Styx came to Atlantis?
Savitar gave him a blank, cold stare.
Your brother was in Atlantis 4 times in his lifetime.
Ash gaped. No, it wasn't possible.
4?
Savitar nodded.
The first was as a boy to free you from your uncle. Estes caught him and took him into custody. And you didn't stop it?
Didn't know about that one when it happened.
How could he not?
What do you mean?
His gaze tormented, Savitar used both hands to rub at his forehead, as if he had a throbbing headache.
Because she was so afraid of anyone learning where you were? Your mother had my power shielded when you were young, so that I couldn't see you or your twin. I didn't know he'd tried to free you until I yanked him out of his coma in New York.
What made you look, then?
I saw the word whore in ancient Greek and the Atlantean solus, along with your uncle's slave mark branded into his groin. I foolishly wanted to know how he'd gotten them. Let that be a lesson about looking into an abyss. It sucked me in and bitch-slapped me with a reality I wish to the gods I'd never seen.
Ash closed his eyes as pain slammed into him so hard he could barely think straight.
Please, tell me you're lying.
You know better.
That was why Styx assaulted Atlantis like he had a grudge match against them. He did. Your uncle had kept him and sold him just like he did you. He even pierced Styx's tongue, as did Apollo. He wanted to burn the whole continent to the ground. Not only for himself, but for you, too.
Ash's breath left him in a bitter wave of sympathy.
Since you looked, how did my uncle capture him?
Do not ask questions you do not want the answers to.
But Ash didn't listen. He was desperate for answers.
I want to know.
He needed to know. Savitar cut a harsh look toward him.
You should know already, Acheron. You were there when it happened.
Bullshit!
Ash paused as he tried to remember, but he had no details. It was total darkness.
Show me!
Savitar shook his head.
There are some memories no one needs.
Still, Ash didn't listen.
Artemis punished Styx with my memories. She forced him to live my life, and instead of it making him forgive me, it's fueled his hatred to an all-time high, and I want to know why. Please, Savitar. I need to see how he got taken. And I refuse to show you, he said harshly, in a bitter tone he'd never used with Ash before. Suffice it to say, he would have gotten away had you not dragged your feet and called out to your uncle to tell him where you were. You could have voluntarily escaped with Styx, but were too afraid to try. Worse, while Estes held him, you laughed and gloated over what they did to Styx constantly. You threw it in his face the whole time he was in Atlantis with you. You even held him down while he was branded.
No. No.
Ash panted as that unbelievable reality slapped him. He choked on denial.
I didn't do that.
Yes, you did.
Ash shook his head. I'm not that kind of person, Savitar. I'm not. I would never do that to another person, especially not my brother.
Every man, woman, and child is capable of extreme and utter prejudice and cruelty when they feel justified in their hatred, right or wrong, even against their own brother. We are all capable of lashing out when we're in pain. No one, not even you or I, is immune from that. As the old saying goes, be kind to everyone you meet, for we are all fighting difficult battles. And yes, you thought it was funny to have the beloved prince heir branded a whore and a slave and sold just as you were. In your defense, you were young, drugged, and lost in your own hell.
That's no excuse.
Ash blinked back his tears as he choked hard on guilt he wanted to continue to deny.
No.
It's not an excuse. It's just harsh, biting reality. Savitar let out a bitter laugh.
Ever wonder why the gods created man, Grom? I personally think that we're the original reality show. They were so effing bored that they created us just so that they could feel better about themselves. You're not funny.
Savitar sighed.
No.
Tragedy never is. Our lives are marked and shaped by our regrets. Things we all want to take back and can't. In a perfect world, we would never hurt the ones we love or cause hurt to befall them. But the world isn't perfect. And sadly, neither are we.
Still, Ash couldn't forgive himself for the way he'd treated Styx all these centuries.
I'm almost afraid to ask about Styx's second visit.
You were there for that one, too.
When they threw me out.
And after he'd purposefully baited and mocked Styx. No wonder his brother hated him. Orion was right. He'd earned it. And he owed Orion an apology. More than that, he owed one to his brother. But how could he ever make it up to either of them? He was so disappointed in himself. This was not the person he thought he was. The person he wanted to be. Savitar sat up and drew a ragged breath.
Asheron, look at me.
Heartsick, he did.
Never look back. You can't change what you've done. You can only change what you're going to do. Pain is always all around us. It's easy to become blind to it, but imagine all the times in your life when you were hurting and going through shit. If just one person had looked over at you and instead of kicking you while you were down had said, it's okay, you're not a bad person. It's just a bad turn of the cards. You'll get through it. Can you imagine what an incredible world this would be?